So I threw out the challenge last week for you guys to be praying that prayer every day this week. And I want to continue that challenge, that you guys continue to pray that prayer every day this next week. I also threw out the challenge that if God shows you something, if God does something in your life, if he reveals himself in any way, to share it with us. And the way we're sharing it is right there on that wall. There's this big thing that says Audacious Faith, and there's strings all strung up right there. And you guys can take a clothespin and just clip a 3x5 card saying, this is what God did this week. This is what God revealed this week. And the purpose for this is so that we can encourage one another, so we can equip one another, so we can see the things that God is doing. Because let's face it, most of the time, I mean, I don't have cameras in your house yet, so I don't know what God's doing. But I have faith that God is doing great things in your homes. I have faith that God is doing great things in this community. And I have a feeling that, and I know, I don't have a feeling, I know God will use this church in this city. This week, I want to talk about seizing the vision. And we talked about seizing the vision that God has laid upon this church, that God laid upon our lead, former lead pastor, Rod Idle. And that vision was that Fernley, Nevada would be the hardest place on earth to go to hell from. That was our vision as a church. Now, this week, I want to talk about our individual, our personal vision that God has laid upon our heart. That personal, that God-given purpose, that God-given mission that God has laid on each one of our lives. That's what I want to do this week. So we're going to be looking at how to seize that vision. But first, I want to remind you the definition of audacious faith. My favorite one was shameless boldness. Say that with me, shameless boldness. Shameless boldness. That's coming before God. That's coming before his throne with boldness, knowing that he is a good father, knowing that he wants good things for us, knowing that he wants great things for this community, and being able to sit upon his lap and say, Dad, you've laid this on my heart, so I'm praying it right back to you, and I am shamelessly praying this to you. I am coming to you with full faith and full boldness that you are going to see this accomplished in my life, see this accomplished in our church, see this accomplished in our community. Shameless boldness, having the audacity to come before his throne, knowing that we can come before his throne room of grace because it is filled with grace, knowing that Jesus Christ paid the penalty that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies and come and sit upon our Father's lap. Knowing that, coming to him with shameless boldness, saying, Father, you've laid this on my heart, and now I pray it to you, and I ask that you see it come true. I ask that you see this come to fruition. I ask that you make this happen, Father. Because we can't do anything without him. We can't do anything for his kingdom without his hand upon it. So we come before him boldly. Audacious faith. Audacious faith. Having the audacity to believe and know that God has great things for us. I come across this definition, actually not this definition, this statement that was made by Stephen Furtick. He says, audacious faith directly connects the greatness of God with your potential to do great things on his behalf. I want to read that again. Audacious faith directly connects the greatness of God. Let's hear that. The greatness of God. Not the greatness of me, not the greatness, not the talents, not the gifts that I have, but the greatness of God with your potential to do great things on his behalf. This is vision, guys. This is that vision that God lays upon each one of our hearts, that potential, that thing that we know God has called us to do in our lives. And sometimes that's church-related, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's work-related. Sometimes in our own personal walk, God has plans for us that don't seem to be related to his kingdom at all, but have everything to do with his kingdom. Sometimes God wants to use us exactly where we are, and he gives us a vision, he gives us a mission, he gives us a purpose at that place where we are to do something for his kingdom. My buddy Jace, I asked him if I could share this. You guys know Jason, our drummer. You know, how can you miss Jason, our drummer? I mean, but Jason works at a school, works over here at Fernley Elementary School. He's a janitor there, and it's his job. That's his job. He's the janitor there. But he's taken his job and turned it into a ministry. He's taken his job. He's taken the place where God has put him and began to use it for God's kingdom. And I don't know if he did this intentionally, on purpose, or what, but he's told me stories about how God has used him in that school. At lunchtime, he likes to hang out with the kids during lunch and have fun with them. If you know Jason, he's a big goofball, so he's going to have fun with the kids no matter where they're at. But at lunchtime, he told me that this is his favorite time of the day, is lunchtime. Kind of all of our favorite times, right? Really? Let's be honest. But he was telling me that during lunch, he's able to just have fun with the kids, play with the kids, and they're supposed to raise their hands when they're done with their lunch, and he's taught them how to do the rock, you know, the rock symbol, and to when they're done, they do the raise the rock fingers, you know, that kind of thing. But in particularly, there was one kid that during lunchtime, he was always crying. He was always sad. And Jason noticed this kid and said, and he came up to him and said, "What, you know, what's going on? How?" And the kid was being yelled at for no reason. The kid was being yelled at and because he wouldn't eat his lunch or because he was, and this kid was crushed by this. Jason took the time to minister to that kid without, I don't even know if he realized what he was doing for that kid's life, but that kid realized, hey, I have a friend here. I have somebody who cares about me, someone who's not just going to yell at me because I'm not hungry, somebody who's not just going to yell at me because I'm not eating my lunch, somebody who cares for me and wants to see me succeed, who wants to show me some affection and some love. That's ministry. That's Jason fulfilling his God-given purpose, his God-given vision, his God-given mission in the place where God has put him. That's what I'm talking about here. I mean, yes, God can give us vision for great things that are totally church-related, and we see these things that are kingdom-minded, but sometimes God just wants to use us where we are. And it's up to us to grab onto that vision. It's up to us to grab onto that mission and that purpose that God has laid on our life. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That's a coffee cup verse that we write on our coffee cups, put on our bumper stickers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We often use that to encourage ourselves. We often use that to say, God has given me this grand vision to do something for him, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or we're going through a tough time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going through a divorce, or I'm going through a rough time with my kids. God can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we label this as a coffee verse, but this is also relates to our everyday life. When Jason is ministering to that kid, he's doing all things through Christ who strengthens him. It's not just a coffee cup verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's my challenge. Do it. Do it. We say it. We know it. We do it. That's my challenge to you this morning. When God lays something on your heart, whether it be a purpose, a mission, a vision, something grandiose or something as small as ministering to a little kid in a lunchroom, do it. When God lays a mission, a vision, or a purpose on your heart to pray for somebody in the Walmart line who seems to be going through a really hard time, or her kids are sitting there, she's got like five kids, and they're all yelling at her and screaming at her at the same time, and you just feel led to pray for her or to help her in some way, do it. That's God's purpose. That's God's vision. That's God's mission for your life at that moment. And know that you are called to do it. And as simple and as easy as that sound, that takes great audacious faith. Stepping out, doing something that's a little uncomfortable, takes audacious faith to accomplish. So don't believe that lie that if you're not doing something grandiose for the kingdom, you're not being used for the kingdom, because you are. In every little situation that you find yourself in, when you bring glory and praise to Jesus' name by doing something in his name, you're doing great things for the kingdom. What is vision? What is vision? Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. There's a lot wrapped up in that, those three little words, to cast off restraint. Many theologians go into, well, if there's no vision of the church, if the lead pastor or somebody isn't casting a vision, then the people are just going to scatter. You know, they'll perish. The people will perish because there's nothing for them to do. There's no vision for them to latch onto. That's truth. That's truth. But in our context today, I want to talk about how when we cast off restraint, what it means is that we're wandering without purpose. Where there's no vision, the people will cast off restraint. They will wander without purpose. And God has a purpose. God has a vision. God has a mission for every single one of our lives. When I was just out of high school, I gotten saved at this point, but I had no vision. I had no mission. I had no purpose for my life. So I was wandering. And some of you guys may have experienced this, where after high school, you don't know what you want to do. You don't know whether you want to go to college. Don't know if you want to join the armed forces. You don't know if you want to go to work. You don't know what you want to do after high school. I think almost every single high school student deals with that at some point after they've graduated or just before they graduate. What am I going to do with my life, right? So this was me. This was after high school, and I was wandering. I went to college for a few years. I worked. I kept on flipping between going to college and working. I never really grabbed onto a major in my first 2 years of college, so I just chose the classes that I wanted. I took PE twice. Because, I don't know why. I didn't have to. I didn't flunk the first PE. If I would have, that would have been really embarrassing. But, you know, I passed the first PE, and that's all that was required of me. But I'm like, I'm going to do this again. I think it was because there were girls in there, so I'm like, you know, why not? But I took PE twice for no reason at all. But I was wandering. I had no purpose. I had no vision. I had no mission. Until God laid something on my heart. That was when after I got married to Kathy, went and visited this college called Corbin College. It's up in Salem, Oregon. And I had been working. I was working graveyard at the time at Ingram Books, which is a big book warehouse, kind of like Amazon. And I was just wandering, but I knew that I wanted to go to college. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I went up to Corbin because actually they have a great teaching program. I was going to become an English professor. But I was still wandering. I wasn't sure. And then I got up to Corbin, and I was just visiting the campus to see if that was a campus that I wanted to go to. And there was a speaker there who happened to be the same speaker that was speaking at the youth retreat that I went to when I got saved. His name's Dewey Bertolini. And this man was the campus pastor. And as he was speaking, as I was visiting during the chapel time, God laid on my heart, "Mark, this is what you're to do. You're to be a pastor. I don't want you to become an English teacher. I don't want you to become an English professor. I don't want you to wander anymore. Here's your purpose. Here's your mission. Here's your vision." And once I had that vision, I stopped wandering. Once I had that vision, I had a purpose. I had a goal. I had a reason to exist in the kingdom of God. Vision. As Chris Vallotton says, vision is a bridge between the present and the future. It's what we're doing now and what we're going to do in the future. Vision is a bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish or go unrestrained. We wander. Vision helps us stay focused. Yesterday during the men's breakfast, we talked a little bit about focus, about keeping our eyes on the prize. And that's what vision is keeping our eyes on the prize. It's knowing where God wants us to go, keeping our eyes on Jesus, following Jesus, knowing the direction, the steps that he's laid out before us, and just taking steps in obedience every single day towards that vision, towards that mission. I also believe that vision helps us overcome our past. Knowing the plans that God has for us to give us hope, to give us a future, that helped me overcome my stupid years. Knowing that God had something in mind for me, hearing from God, knowing that vision, knowing that purpose, knowing that mission, helped me realize all that junk in my past, all that stuff that I did as a stupid high schooler where I was smoking weed behind the youth building, where I was dating girls that I shouldn't have dated, where I was doing all these things that was rubbing God's name into the dirt, all those things. It gave me a way to put away my past and realize my future that God has for me. It gave me hope. That's what vision does for us. Having a God-given vision for our life gives our past, gives our pain, gives all that junk that we went through, it gives that a meaning. Because if I wouldn't have gone through all that stuff that I went through as a high schooler, drifting away from God, claiming that I was an atheist to my friends, even though I went to church, I wouldn't be able to relate to some of the people that I can relate to now who have struggled with faith, who have questioned whether God exists or not. Having a vision, having a purpose, having a mission gives us a reason for our past, helps us understand what God is, what did, was doing back then, and what he's going to do with it now. I've talked with you guys a couple times about my sister-in-law, Karma, and she's gone through a couple divorces. She's had a painful life. But if she hadn't gone through some of that stuff, she wouldn't have been able to minister to some of you women in this congregation. Some of you women have been touched by Karma, my sister, not the Buddhist thing. I have to clarify that sometimes. But some of you guys have been touched by her story, and ministered to by her. If she hadn't gone through that stuff, she wouldn't have been able to relate with you guys. She wouldn't have been able to say, this is what God brought me through, and give you hope, give you a future, give you an idea of what God wants for your life. Having a vision, mission, purpose gives us that. P.K. Barnard says this, a man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to his past. What that's saying here is if we don't know God's vision, we're just going to keep on making the same mistakes we used to make. If we don't know God's purpose for our lives, we're just going to continue down that path that we've always been going down, that path that we've always been walking. But once we catch hold of God's vision, once we catch hold of what God has planned for our future, then we can grab onto that, put aside our past, and go, God, I know you're going to use my past for my future. That's what vision does. I'm going to skip that part. We all have dreams. We all have aspirations. We all have goals that we may want to accomplish. We all have something that we feel might be our purpose. But how do we know that it's God's purpose? How do we know that it's God's mission? How do we know that it's God's vision for our lives? One of my goals, one of my, I guess my vision that I feel that I might be called to is become an American ninja. Have you guys seen that? Right? American Ninja Warrior. Don't laugh, I'm serious. Don't laugh, I'm serious. Shut your mouth. But here's the reason. And I don't, you know, I can, you know, we can say, well, that's definitely Mark's vision for his life, not necessarily God's. But I feel that God has laid this on my life for some reason. And I don't know why, because if I look at it, an American Ninja Warrior, how can that bring glory to God? How can that bring honor to God? Well, I've been watching it, obviously. And have you noticed how many of the American Ninja Warriors are wearing t-shirts that give glory and honor to God? Have you taken a look and noticed that? There are so many of them. I was astounded by how many men and women that are going through that obstacle course that no human should be able to go through, and they're wearing statements of faith on their t-shirts like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a testimony to God. And then when they finally reach that buzzer and up on that platform and hit it down and their time comes back and they give glory to God. And then when they're interviewed by that lady, I don't even know her name, but that lady that sits there on the sideline saying, that was an amazing run. How did you do that? And they always say, it was God, man. I couldn't do this without God. There were some guys that have gone through terrific, horrible things in their lives where they've been injured and they didn't know if they would be able to make it back to American Ninja Warrior, and they give glory to God for their healing. They give glory to God for the ability to run that course. So is it my idea to become an American Ninja Warrior? Probably a little bit, let's be honest. But as I'm doing it, man, if I get on TV, I can guarantee you all glory is going to God. It's going to be a testimony of my faith. But me, a little on paper 5'9", in reality 5'8". Me, a little dude, can run that course. And it's all because God gave me the ability to do it. That's a vision. That's a mission. And it may seem little. May seem a little silly. But sometimes that's how God works. Giving us those little things, those little missions, those little visions, those little purposes in our life to show His glory, for His kingdom, for His honor. That's vision. It doesn't have to be something grandiose. It doesn't have to be something that is so kingdom-focused that you lose a little bit of yourself in it. Because God created us with a purpose. God created us to be us. God created us. He designed each atom in our body. He designed our character. He designed our personality. He designed our gifts. He designed our talents. And He wants to give us a mission, a vision, a purpose to use those talents for His kingdom. So when God gives me a vision, when God gives me a mission, how can I know that it's from Him? The first question we have to ask ourselves is, will this bring glory to God? Will this bring glory to God? Or will this just bring glory to me? If it only brings glory to you, then it's probably not of God, because God is all about His glory. So the first question we have to ask is, will this bring glory to God? Christian athletes are often made fun of because of when they hit a home run or when they run a touchdown or when they kick a field goal or whatever sport they're in. Christian athletes often give glory to God. And oftentimes they're made fun of for that. I was watching a talk show of, it was this panel of atheists, and they were just talking about sports and Christian athletes specifically. And one of the guys said, I just saw this Christian athlete, and he hit a home run on TV, and as he's rounding the bases and he's hit touching home plate, he's going like this, giving all glory to God. And the next time he gets up there, he strikes out, and he's like, how do you correlate that? How do you understand that? That when you do something good, all glory to God, but when you strike out, you know, they don't understand it. But here's where I come from with that. Yeah, it could have just been his natural talent that hit a home run. Sure. But why not give God glory for that? Why not? He created me. He made me who I am. He gave me the talents. He gave me the gifts that I have. Why not give him glory for it? He deserves it. You can never give God enough glory. How many times have we heard that statement from this pulpit? You can never give God enough glory. He deserves it. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, will this give God glory? And if it will, then it just might be a vision from God. It might just be a mission from God. It might just be a purpose from God. Second question. Does this vision line up with what I know about God? Does this vision line up with what I know about God? Because God will not contradict himself. The Bible does not contradict itself, no matter what certain atheists or certain whatevers want to say. If you really read the Bible, you will realize it does not contradict itself. God will not contradict himself. So does this mission, does this vision line up with what I know about God? If your vision is to start a brothel in Nevada, that's probably not from God, okay? But if your vision and if your mission is to do ministry in a brothel, to minister to the women who are there, to pray over them, to love on them, to show them Christ-like love, that might be a vision from God. That might be a mission from God. Does this vision, does this mission line up with what I know about God? Jeremiah 23:16 says this, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." What this is saying is that sometimes we might get a vision, sometimes we might hear something from somebody that does not line up with God's word. If it does not line up with God's word, throw it away. That's what this is saying. If you or a prophet has some kind of vision or speaks some kind of word over you that does not line up with God's truth that he has revealed in his Bible, the character that God has shown in his word, if it doesn't line up with that, throw it away. Because sometimes they're speaking out of their butts. And that's the honest truth. 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." If the dream, the purpose, the vision, the mission in your heart isn't biblically based, focused on Jesus, and affirmed by key people in your life, tethered to your passions, gifts, life's experiences, chances are you're off. If it doesn't line up with God, it's probably not God's purpose. No, if it doesn't line up with God, it is not God's purpose for your life. Number three, does my vision line up with what I know about me? How God has designed me? How God has created me? Does it line up with what I know about my own gifts, my own talents? Now, I have to be careful here because sometimes God will give you talents and gifts that you never knew you even had to accomplish his vision, to accomplish his mission for your life. But God has designed you with gifts and talents that he wants you to use for his kingdom. If you can't hear the difference between pitch, then you might not be called to be a worship leader. That doesn't mean that you can't worship. God wants everyone to worship, so don't get me wrong in this. Whether you can hit a note or whether you can't hit a note, if you're worshiping Jesus, if you're crying out to him with your whole heart and you're connecting with Jesus, by all means, sing your little guts out, okay? But if you can't hear pitch, you might not be called to be a worship leader. My mom I've sat with her throughout my entire life, sitting next to her, and I listened to her sing, and I'm like, where in the heck did I get my ear? Because this woman cannot sing. I mean, she can't, but man, does she praise Jesus. Man, does she lift her voice and praise loudly and proudly. And I love worshiping with her in that sense, but most of the time I'm like this. But she's not called to be a worship leader. She's called to worship. If you have a hard time with public speaking, maybe you're not called to be a public speaker. If you don't have the talent, okay, I'm going to tell you. I know I'm not called to be to start an automotive repair ministry. I stink at repair work or anything to do mechanically. My wife, Kathy, she taught me how to change the oil in my own car, okay? That might not be a ministry for me. I know my talents. I know my gifts. And if the vision that God lays on my heart doesn't line up with giving him glory, doesn't line up with what I know about him, and does not line up with what I know about myself, I've got to really check that. I've got to really test that. I've got to make sure it's from God. So my question this morning for you guys, what vision, what mission, what purpose has God laid on your heart? What has God shown you? What has God revealed to you that he might want you to accomplish for his kingdom? And again, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. It could be, and if it is, awesome. If it is something huge where you can just see millions of lives impacted for the kingdom of God, have the faith to go ahead and step out and do that. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be something as small as talking with a little kid who's always crying at lunch, who's always sad, and just showing him love. What has God shown you? What has God given to you as his mission, as his vision, as his purpose for your life? I've skipped a lot of stuff this week, which is awesome because that means I have stuff for next week. But I want to leave you this. Some of you may have fear that God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do, something that feels uncomfortable. Yeah, that's a good possibility. God likes to stretch us. He likes to take us to those uncomfortable places, whether it's praying for a woman in the Walmart line, or whether it's ministering to kids here in the church, or whether it's doing something that you know is going to bring God glory in the smallest of ways. God likes to stretch us. He likes to do that. He likes to make us uncomfortable. So yeah, there's a good possibility that God will give you a vision, God will give you a mission, God will give you a purpose that you might not want to do. But God can also change your desire. God can also give you that desire to accomplish that purpose for his kingdom. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I don't interpret this verse to say that God's going to give us everything we want. I don't interpret it that way. I interpret it to mean that God is going to give us the desire to desire what he wants for our lives. God is going to give us the desire to desire what he wants for our lives. And sometimes we just have to ask for that. Sometimes we just have to ask God to change our hearts, to desire what he desires. And then that makes it so much easier. And when Jesus says, my burden is easy, that's what he means. That he can change our desires to desire what he wants. Psalm 20, verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. When we desire what God desires, he will fulfill those plans. When we are in line with what he has planned for us, he will see that come to fruition. That is what audacious faith is about. Knowing God's vision, purpose for our lives, and stepping out in that. Knowing that he wants good for us. Knowing that he wants to use us. Knowing that he has designed us in a specific way. I want to leave you with this last quote, and then I'm going to give you guys the challenge for this week. Larry Randolph said this, and I think this is hilarious. When God predetermined our destiny, he factored in our stupidity. Therefore, there's always enough time to finish. If God's given you a vision, a mission, a purpose in your life, he knows where you're going to struggle. He knows that you're going to have fear that you're going to screw it up. He knows all that. He designed you. He created you. He knows everything about you. He factored that in. So don't think that it's too late to accomplish your mission, to accomplish your vision, to accomplish your purpose. Don't think that it's too late to do what God has asked you to do in your life. If he's given you something, there's still time to do it. This week's challenge, it's on your Going Deeper pages that you may have gotten in your bulletin. If you didn't get it in your bulletin, I know Alex put this little thing up there. It's like a framed thing. It says Going Deeper. You can take a picture of it, take it home with you. Again, I want you to continue praying that prayer from last week. If you lost it, you can take a picture of it. It's up there on the little framed thing. It says Going Deeper. But I'm asking you to commit to praying with us this week. The first one is this. If you don't have a vision for your life, if God hasn't given you a mission, if you're wandering right now, if you don't know what you're supposed to do right now for God's kingdom, pray that he would give you vision for your life. Pray that he would show you the steps and the direction that you need to take to accomplish his purpose for your life. Pray that he would reveal to you how he wants to use you on a daily basis, even if it's in the small things. Number two, if God has already given you a specific vision for your life, pray that he would direct your steps. Pray that he would give you boldness, shameless boldness, to accomplish his purpose for your life. Pray that he would reveal to you how he wants to use you on a daily basis. And then pray for us as a church. Pray for us as a church that we would seize the vision that God has laid on our hearts, laid upon our church. That we would step out in faith, in audacious faith, that we would take the steps that God has already laid out, the direction that he has given to us. Pray that as a church, we would accomplish his vision, his mission, his purpose. And pray that we would do that on a daily basis. And as you pray these things this week, if God reveals something to you, if God does something for you, write that down. Write it down. Start journaling what God has accomplished in your life or what God is doing in your life, what God has revealed to you in your life. Start writing that stuff down. Because as you do that, when you start going through tough times, you can go back to that journal and say, wow, look at all these things God has done. And those things that you write down, come back here and please put them on our wall, because we want to share what God is doing in our congregation, what God is doing in our church. We want to know what God is doing in each one of your lives. Because God is doing great things. And we want to share in that. And then just pin it on our little wall there. If you're struggling this morning with anything, whether it's related to the sermon or not, whatever you're struggling with this morning, you feel you need prayer this morning, we've got our elders here on the side willing to pray with you. If it's too uncomfortable to come up front, you can pray with somebody in your seat. If you want to fall before the cross, we've got carpet pads there. You can fall before the cross and kneel before the cross and cry out to God. This is the moment where we live life together. We pray for one another, pray with one another. And we step out in audacious faith to encourage one another. We're going to sing this last song. During this last song, take time to reflect upon God.